Okay. Thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to speak this afternoon to you. Thank you for your the opportunity to speak to us. This is Rick Newman. Rick is our project manager for our GenFast program. And I'm David Duke. I'm Vice President of Operations for Cygnode and their cotton operation program. Cygnode, this is our third year of testing with the GenFast system. We did about 70,000 bales this year. We wanted to give you a little bit of an update on where we were this year, both at the warehouse, the gens, and at the receiving locations with some of the updates that we've made for this ginning season. The PET bag concept, many of you have seen this before, but for some of you who haven't, we're taking the current design of a bale and a bag, and we're taking the straps and the wires, and we're removing those, taking the straps that we have on the current bale design, and we're making thousands of tapes. And we're making a woven polyester bag out of this, which is new technology. It's never been done before, so we're breaking new ground each and every day with this project. This is some of the updated equipment that we have for this year for test purposes. Just give you, for some of you who have not seen this before. Currently, we're able to pull the bale out within about approximately 5 seconds. You'll see the lower ram release. And you'll also see the automatic sampling as the bale is put into our chamber. Watch it quickly because it's going.
This design criteria is about 75 an hour.
Okay, you want to speak to these a little bit?
These are some of the changes we made this year. One of the big changes was we increased the ribs inside the box, and we found out by accident that these ribs actually absorb some of the bag material and they create strength zones. And we'll show you a little later what it looks like when you use a rhino hook or something. So this was very successful for us, increasing the strength of the bag. And it also gives you a little bit of a sort of an edge to the abrasion resistance improves because you only have a little strength area and it's not being exposed, kind of like we do with scrap. And this is killing the bale this year. We went to a 19-inch shut height. We kicked it down a bit. I know a lot of ginners would like 23, and I think we're going to get there. But we need to get our facility up and running and be able to change a few of the criteria of the bag. But this really helped with our rebound this year, obviously. And then the bag color. We went to green bags this year for identification purposes. And a lot of times we went to warehouses and we said, did you guys see any of our strapless bales? And they said, no. And there have been, thousands gone through. So this helped the identification. And, of course, green is recyclability. This is a totally recyclable bag. Improve visibility for tracking from the gins to the warehouses to the mills. I got an email the other day from one of the mills, can't remember who, Frontier, I think, and they had put aside some of the bags they just received. So I'll let you talk about this, David.
Basically, our test coverage, we had two locations this year, Mill Creek in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and Olton Gin in Olton, Texas. Approximately 70,000 bales and Dale, we have PBI numbers. It was such a challenge for us to be able to track the bales, as Rick said earlier, from one location to the next. Once they leave the gin or the next or the warehouse from the gin, it's terribly difficult to keep up as fast as they're moved from one location to the next. So obviously the green color helps us. But we also had extra feet on the street this year, our field engineering group, so that we could follow these bales through, observe them, document the performance of the bags from one location to the next. And we will continue to do that through this this season of movement. And then we have follow-ups and documentation to provide to the Bale Packaging Committee and also to the National Cotton Council. So we spent a lot of time this year, a lot of capitals, working with the warehouses. Helping them understand the concept that we're working with, trying to find out and work with them on various ways of loading and unloading bales. And you'll see later in this presentation, one of the things that we're trying to do, we're trying to get the entire industry, and it's beneficial for PE bags, PP bags, and the new bag that we're working on, and some of the handling techniques that we would like to see the industry, encourage the industry to move forward with. So we've met with the key committee members. We've talked with them about the program. And then, of course, we've given them our names and numbers. We want to know when these bales arrive, not just any areas of issue or problems. We'd like to be able to, visit these locations if they have any at all, so that they can be inspected, reviewed, and make sure that they're arriving in the condition that we feel the industry requires. And our test results this year, this is approximately the number of bales we've done at each location. We're finishing up now at Olton. This Thursday will be finished. We finished at Mill Creek approximately 2 weeks ago. This is some of the handling techniques that we've worked with our field engineering group. This shows the flipping method that we've encouraged to try to not only here but at receiving warehouses. It doesn't take any additional time to do this, but it does offer less damage to any type of bag that is used. And also another method, this is actually at the unloading the trucks. And one of the other objectives this year was being able to move 8 bales at a time, which is one of the primary concerns from the warehouse group, wanting to make sure that was a capability this product had, and it does. And then bale storage. This demonstrates really the stackability, the uniformness of the bales. And then loading at the warehouse.
I was going to say this particular warehouse handles each bale about 15 to 20 times. So you can see the condition by the time they moved them around. A little puff of cotton, by the way, you see on one of the bales is a cert opening, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. It wasn't a rip bag.
And, of course, the dreaded Garrett hook test, which was one of the things that... And with the ribbing that Rick discussed a few minutes ago, we actually get a very dense layer across the face of the bale as well, which helps with this pickup. So the results... You can see flipping techniques that we're working with warehouses to encouraging them to look forward in the future, trying as an industry to improve the arrival conditions at the mills for all types of covers used. Certificating, that was one of the other issues that came to bear this past year with some of the merchant warehouses. And we did over 600 this year successfully. We have a video here just to show that very briefly by putting a spacer in. These bales are much more dense than the average bale, so therefore the blades do not have to be as deep to draw the same sample. And it's mainly education more than anything, just showing people how to recover these, how to tape them back up again. And this was the standard machine that's used in almost every cert warehouse in the country. So the mill updates, we'll just go through this very quickly. These four locations have already received some of the bales that we've done this year. These are our contacts here as well. Many of these gentlemen are familiar to you in the industry, very active members, and all reporting very good feedback. Some did not know how to open these when they first arrived, so they went to our website, which gives specific instructions for the mills. And once that was accomplished, they found a very simple way to open these and handle them internally, and of course encouraged members to contact them if they had any questions about the mill's recommendations. Let's let Rick speak to the equipment upgrades from the engineering side.
This is our machine itself. This is where you saw the picture coming out of the press, and we extruded out here and we put the bag on. We've done a number of upgrades to our cart going back and forth. We've increased the length of it. We've increased the robustness of the forks, and we've also increased the robustness of the pusher bar. And then sort of a better shot of it is our chain and the chain tensioning system. We changed quite a bit. Guys just wanted to have easier access to it to be able to adjust it. And also we put a slip clutch in it in case something happened. We had a problem with the actual platen hitting the forks, so we wanted to put something in there to prevent any damage. And this just shows the tensioning and the rest of it and the chain drive for the pusher and the cart. We also had some issues with our pusher plate, and we really beefed that up and stolen some ideas from the press manufacturers of how to guide it. The bag assist, while it ran fairly well this year, we had some issues about halfway through, so we beefed it up. We've also added a feature where if it does go down, you can just simply swing it out of the way, and you can go to manual and put the bag on manually so you can keep up and running. I'll talk about the manufacturing facility.
This is a 100,000 square foot facility that we've overhauled in Chapin, South Carolina. This is our phase one. Most of this equipment will be delivered by the end of this month and for installation, and we will be into production by the early part to middle of March of this year. Rick mentioned a moment ago trying to get to that 23-inch shut height or 22-inch shut height for the Jenners. One of the keys to that is for us to be able to have the horsepower to make a heavier bag. The bags that we've been testing with so far have been basically run on a small pilot line and put together. This gives us the opportunity to really add a little beef to the bag and to the tapes, the individual tapes. It does take a lot of horsepower to do that. These new lines will have that ability. And this shows phase two of our line operation to be installed approximately 2016. And just a quick summary. We have very consistent bale size. It meets the Joint Bale Packaging Committee and the National Cotton Council requirements. Warehouse storage. Very uniform bales, very stackable. Uniform label placement. This is something that we're able to put the label where the bale is sorted or the sample is taken at the gin. That's an indicator not to go back to that same spot again for the cert warehouses, so they know to go to other locations on the bale rather than going to that particular location. It also gives us consistent label placement for the warehouses, which is one of the things they encouraged us to look at. And then safety at the mills, the removal of wire and strapping from the opening rooms. And gin productivity is something we've already discussed in the past as far as speed. Our goal, obviously, man-made fiber is the competitor to the cotton industry. These slides were taken at Frontier Mills and with Mike Beaker's approval to use this today. It was his idea to show us the arrival condition of our competitor. And unfortunately, this was the stack standing right beside of it. I believe his comment was it looked like it arrived drug behind the truck rather than inside of it. So obviously, this is where we want to try to help the industry. The goal is of achieving a better overall package. Any questions? Yes. The question was, are we seeing growth in the bale? We're actually containing that within approximately 33 inches. What we're finding is with the with strapping and wire, we typically have a little growth, a little more growth in the middle between where the straps or wires are placed. This is keeping the fiber much more dense, and it does not grow as much. So, but we are containing the product. It's not, we're not blooming, if that answers your question. That's exactly right. In the laydown area, this is a very consistent product. You can see we have some videos. Unfortunately, I'm sorry we don't have one on this particular slide today, but we do have some videos of the opening room and how they handle the bales going in and then pull the two caps off of each end, and you'll see that there is consistency and uniformity in the bloom height. So it actually is very, very consistent from one bale to the next. The reason we get that is because we're not pinch point in six or eight places like we do with strapping and wire. The entire product is covered all the way across, and we have a better settling effect. The tension levels, even on a heavy-ended bale, for example, tend to equalize quicker and more evenly across the entire bale. Any other questions? Well, Rick and I thank you for your time, and Signode thanks you as well. Appreciate it.
And then a minute 20 it over.